But I want us to look at what took place at the graveside of Lazarus. In verse 33, there's lots of people weeping here. Mary and Martha surely are weeping. Jesus sees them weeping, or at least one of them. He mentions seeing one of them weep. In the Jewish tradition, culture, people would come to weep with those who had lost loved ones. Weepers. I've heard that sometimes they hired weepers. I told Gwen, when I die, we'll have to hire weepers. We'll have to hire pallbearers to carry the coffin. She said, you won't need but two, Toby. I said, two? No, I said, you haven't been to enough funerals. There's six pallbearers. She said, but a trash can only has two handles. I've thought about, I'd like to hire a fainter. Don't you like to go to these funerals when the third cousin to the deceased is up here having a spell and they hadn't seen them in 16 years? But they're crying and everybody's wondering, who in the world is that? They're trying to make the funeral about them. Well, what about when we weep? What about when the circumstances come to where we are the weepers? In verse 33, Jesus saw her weeping. Now, I want you to know that you and I do not weep without Jesus knowing about it. He knows. We just read in Hebrews where he feels our infirmities. He knows when we weep. He knows when we weep. In verse 35, Jesus weeps himself. Did you see that? If you can't memorize very many verses of Scripture, there's one you can memorize. Jesus wept. Weeping is different for the child of God than for the lost person. Now, this is what I wanted to get to. I know it's taken me a long time, but this is the part that I wanted us to get to. Weeping for the Christian is different than weeping for the lost world. The lost world weeps perhaps when they lose their money. The lost world may weep when they lose a relative. Of course they would. It's different for the Christian. Weeping for the Christian, weeping for Mary and Martha, is totally different than the weeping of those that had come to Bethany to help them in this time of need. The weeping for them is different. Now, you know, because you've read the rest of the story, you know what happened in their lives. Their brother comes back to life. They're weeping. Jesus wept. But that weeping is different because their brother comes back to life. Everything is totally different for them. I want you to look with me at a passage of Scripture in the Psalms. Psalms and chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30. And look down at verse 5. Now I'm going to read the entire verse, but my focus, your focus, I hope, is going to be toward the end of that verse. For his anger, he's talking about God's anger. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Man, this is a great verse. This is a great, great verse. This gives us the character of God. This shows us what God is about. His mercy is new every day. I think that God, that sin angers God. But his anger endures but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now let me tell you what this verse means. Someone comes and rings your doorbell about dark, and it's weeping. It's weeping. Weeping itself has shown up about dark. Gwen, I was watching TV the other night, and a commercial came on. She always reads a book when she's watching TV, but a commercial came on. It was something about Thanksgiving. These folks were waiting for the relatives to come, and the doorbell rang on the TV, and Gwen jumps up and runs down the hall and said, "Answer the door." But weeping has shown up, and the doorbell has rung, and now it's your turn. It's your turn. Weeping has shown up at your house. But I want you to notice something about this verse. That weeping lasts for the night. Now you know what that means? That in God's economy, in God's rules, that weeping can only stay, Brother Chuck, it can only stay so long. There's a period of time, and it is cut off. When I go to a state meeting, Betty reserves a motel room for me. And I went to Hot Springs a couple weeks ago, and sometime during the night, they shove something under the door. Do you know what that was? The bill. But you know what it said on it? It had the checkout time. It had the checkout time. And it didn't say, "Lanny, we've been glad to have you, but you're going to need to leave by 11. Because someone else has got this room." And in God's economy, church, are you hearing me today? In God's economy, weeping is only allowed to stay so long. There's someone else that takes its place. There's something else that takes its place. There's a checkout time for weeping. Weeping, the Bible says, lasts for the night. Weeping comes in the night. But I want you to know something, church, that morning is coming. Morning is coming. Has it been your time? Has he knocked on your door? Morning is coming. And what is coming? Come on, church. Joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming in the morning. Weeping had come to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But the truth showed up. A little late? No. Just in time.
just in time. He showed up just in time. Truth showed up. The real truth. The real truth. You see, God put a limit on weeping for the child of God. It may endure for a night. God put this time limit on weeping for the child of God. Mourning is coming for the Christian. There's weeping there at the tomb, but truth was there. Look with me. Get back over in John. I want you to look at the 18th chapter of John. John 18, look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world. Boy, what did Jesus say? This is the reason I came. This was the reason I came. What was the reason that he came? To bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, I said a little while back that weeping for the Christian is different than weeping for the lost person. Everyone that hears my voice, this is different. For everyone that hears my voice, Jesus says, because I came to bear witness of the truth. Because you see, at the grave of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, truth had shown up. They sent for truth. And he showed up just in time. In John 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way. What's that next deal? And the truth and the life. Now, in other places he said he was the light. Here he said he was the life. I'm the life. I'm the life. I'm the way, the truth, and I'm the life. I'm the Christian's life. In Luke, the 7th chapter, a story is told of the widow of Nain. And they were burying the widow's only son outside to bury him. And they were weeping, and truth showed up. And Jesus raised the corpse to life. You see, that was the truth of it. That whenever Jesus showed up, that everything in those people's lives were going to be totally different, totally changed, because he's the truth of the situation. You see, God has a purpose in our brokenness. God has a purpose in our weeping. But when truth shows up, we begin to see joy in the morning. We begin to see the joy. Jesus is the one that brings joy in our lives. Jesus is the one that changes our circumstances. In Mark, the 4th chapter, in those later verses, 39, Jesus is in the ship with his disciples. You know this story? He's tired. He gets in the back of the ship and gets a pillow and lays down and goes to sleep. And a storm breaks out. And the ship begins to take water. And the disciples get like us. When the storm breaks out, we forget who's in the ship with us. We forget about joy coming in the morning. We get focused on the weeping and the brokenness and we forget that joy comes in the morning, that this weeping has a temporary stay, and that stay is going to be limited by what God says it can stay. But truth is in the ship with us. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus said. And they wake him up. And they say, don't you care? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Don't you care? Are you kidding? I'm getting ready to die on the cross for you dummies. What do you mean, do I care? I was walking the streets of heaven. I chose to walk the dirty streets of this earth. I chose to put my hands to the cross and be crucified so you could have eternal life. What do you mean, do I care? Does Jesus care? Jesus cares. And he stands up in the ship, and the wind says to the waves, shh, that's him. Woohoo! That's him. We've got to be quiet because that's him. And he says, peace, be still. You are limited storm to what he says can take place. Church, do you hear me? Amen. Revelation, the 21st chapter. You know what I'm going to say? You already know. If I get my hands quit shaking where they get in these pages here, and I don't think they're going to. Verse 4. You know the verse very well. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No tears in heaven, no tears up there. In verses 43 through verse 44, the dead man's shuffle is introduced to the streets of Bethany. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus was bound by the things of this earth. They had done the same thing to Lazarus that they did to Jesus when he died on the cross. They wrapped his body in grave clothes, grave cloth. They anointed his body with all those ointments. Same thing. Those that came to the tomb of Jesus to anoint his body, they did all those things. They put a napkin over his face. Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And you see, Jesus gives us a command here that you and I need to listen to. Brother Shane talked about the dysfunctional family and how maybe all of us have been affected by that one way or the other. All of us have been affected by whatever the devil could do in our life to keep us from being as effective
as God wants us to be. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to feel like that you're not as good as other people. I know what it feels like to feel like you're not near as smart as other people. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I know why you feel that way. But I know how that feels, to feel like you're not as smart as others, or you're not as good as others, or you can't do what other people do. We see, all that's just grave clothes. That's not... God didn't say that to me. God didn't put that on me. And the devil tried to use that in my life to keep me from what God wanted me to do. But what Jesus says to me and what Jesus says to you is, lose him, let him go. Take them old those old grave clothes off, because truth has shown up in this life. And if you know Christ as your Savior, truth is there with you. In whatever the circumstance is. You see, God, just like he wanted to bring glory in the life of Lazarus to the king, God wants to bring glory in your life to the king. Not to you, but to the king. Let's stand together. If you're here today and lost, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, we want to invite you to come accept Christ as your Savior today. If you're here today and God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, we want you to come make that decision today for Christ. If God's dealing with your heart today to recommit your heart, your life to him, whatever that decision is, you've been saved, but you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, there's something there that is a burden in your heart that you need to decide today. We want to invite you to come. So as we sing, you come.